Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Either way, I think we got him.
I want to live like that.
This is Wretched Radio. Am I a prophet? Okay, we know the answer to that, no. But are my predictions about the latest animated film about the life of our Savior, King of Kings, accurate? Let's find out together, shall we? We sent our very own intrepid reporter, Dalton Teal, to the movie theater. How was the popcorn?
Oh, it's delicious. That's why I brought my wife. She wanted popcorn.
Okay, let me just ask you. Did you bring your own goods in?
Oh, no.
Okay, well, okay.
Hey, I am a rule follower.
Okay, then. We've never smuggled in, say, a little licorice?
No, definitely not licorice.
Cans
either.
Of soda?
Nothing.
You're a better man than I, Gunga Din. You went to the King of Kings movie theater, or the movie showing on Friday.
Correct.
Correct. And you're returning with the review. Now, here's what I want to know, Dalton. The producers of the movie said this was based on the theology of Charles Dickens, his storytelling to his children about Jesus Christ, an unpublished book that was released posthumously. That means after his death.
I got that.
Okay. So this Charles Dickens presentation we went through last week, basically, besides being Unitarian, was also just, he believed in the Jordan Peterson Jesus, a moral sort of fellow. Good teachings, follow his precepts, kids, and overall, you'll do fine. That was the gist of the book. Would you agree with my review of Charles Dickens' book?
Oh, that's his closing line, is to be a Christian is to do good towards others.
That's thank you. You got it really straight. And I would just say as an aside, I think that is the understanding of most people in Western civilization, that Christianity is a moral system. It's a code to get along in life, values that get imposed basically to rob us of our fun, but just to be religious-like. That's how I think most people actually perceive Christianity. Having said that, if his book is, as you state, about doing good. That's Dickens' understanding of Christianity is about doing good. Tell me about King of Kings. What was the theology like in the movie?
In one word, ecumenical.
Okay.
And it was a weird conglomerate of, because you have Mormon producers through Angel Studios. You have a Unitarian who wrote the story.
Right. And it's like
they were trying to please everyone with the story. So it was pretty ecumenical. And that was kind of the basis of what everyone was saying in terms of reviews. Somebody wrote, for a film based on the greatest story ever told, it never quite meets the moment. And then someone else said, it feels like a film that can still be enjoyed and appreciated by those who may not share in the Christian faith.
Oh, sure.
Which is what we want. When we're telling the life of Christ and the death of Christ, we want those that aren't Christians to actually enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm. So this was an ear tickler that even pagans could say, that was nice.
Correct.
Okay, then that's not a Christian film.
No, which is interesting because the Christian Post put up an article that said, the King of Kings shares the gospel.
See, they did. That's kind of a tender spot for me because that's what everybody says. Hey, we talked about Jesus, so we shared the gospel. If you do not share a number of precepts about God and man, you haven't shared the gospel.
Correct.
Was the gospel explained in King of Kings?
Oh, absolutely not. We got to the end of the movie and I said, where was the gospel?
Did Jesus get crucified?
Jesus did get crucified. So
For what reason?
That was what was so interesting about it. It was like they were dancing around. They were trying to tell the story accurately, but dance around hard subjects.
Yeah.
So it did. It traced back to Genesis 1 and 2, how God created Adam and Eve, went to Genesis 3, and the fall of Adam and Eve talked about sin.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Though it didn't explain sin, it just said, they sinned, and now Jesus needs to die for our sins.
I see.
And I thought, okay, this is the moment. This is where they're going to drive in, and then it stops.
But that is not uncommon. Going to be Easter Sunday. And I promise you, most churches will not make the point explaining what sin is, how it is a violation of God's standards, why we deserve his temporal and eternal punishment. It's just assumed that people kind of get that without explaining it. And the reality is we don't, because every man professes his own goodness with his mouth. We need the mirror of the law to help us understand that. So they kind of assumed that you affirmed that we're sinners.
There was a lot of assumption. There was a lot of assumption in that you knew a lot of the story, or if you didn't know the story, this is what all you needed to know about the story in order to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Though they didn't use the word Christian, at least that I remember throughout the course of the story, which the way that they created this story is, and you've gone over it, is Dickens is jumping back and forth between having a conversation with his son and then in the story. And it kind of, they interweave. So at moments, I mean, Dickens even says, let's help Jesus along the way. And so they jump into the storyline. And at moments, like, they're diving into the story and like the feeding of the 5,000. His son's sitting there with a cookie that his mom had given him. And then they jump back into the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And he hands Jesus the cookie and suddenly it turns into the bread and fish. And then they start to pass it out. So it was like breaking the fourth wall almost, where they're jumping into the story and telling the story. But moralism was what was running throughout. Now, it wasn't exactly the Unitarian theology of Dickens. They skirted away from that one a little bit. And it was, I saw one reviewer say that it was a little bit of a revisionist history.
Well, that is why initially I said, either way, we got them. Not that we're trying to catch anybody, but they said it was a representation of Dickens' theology based on his story. And if it wasn't, well, that wasn't accurate either.
Correct. And what's funny about the Dickens story, it's not funny, it's actually quite sad, is that Dickens talks about Jesus and says that God loved him as his own son, which was covered already. But they don't do that in this. They talk about that Jesus was the son of God. But if you know Mormon theology, they're not afraid to say that. There's just a lot of baggage behind that statement.
That's right.
So they stated pretty explicitly, Jesus is the son of God. But then they go throughout telling the miracles of Jesus, and Dickens breaks into the story when his son asks, what's a miracle? And he says, a miracle is Jesus doing something to show how much faith he has in God.
Okay.
That's the definition of a miracle.
That's bad.
That is bad. And there were several other moments where they just kind of danced around the scriptures, or they took the Bible and ran away from what was actually stated in the scriptures and kind of forced in their moralism, Mormon theology. It was a lot of those particular moments where they would take what the Bible said and then just tweak it ever so slightly to make it say something completely different.
Yeah.
But if you weren't discerning and you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't catch it.
Right. Now, you did, no doubt, a lot of research on this. Clearly, you read some other reviews. Have other people been pointing this out, or overall, has Big Eva been giving it a huge thumbs up?
Big Eva's given it a huge thumbs up, though they haven't really touched on the theology of the movie, which
that's
is interesting.
That's baked into the term Big Eva.
Right?
Yeah.
They've not touched on the theology. They said it's good for families to go to. And I will say, I mean, we were in a theater filled with children, and the majority of the time I'm hearing, why did Jesus have to die?
Oh, really?
What is sin?
Real? You were not.
It was, people were asking that question all around. The families were asking it, but I never heard a good answer. I was eavesdropping on some of the families behind us. And one of the children asked, why did Jesus have to die? And the mom for 2 seconds talked about Jesus and sin. And then for the next 2 minutes talked about Easter and the Easter bunny.
Oh, good.
So it opened up opportunities for conversation.
But they didn't happen if mom and dad didn't have the answers at the ready, which is similar to the conversation. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but there they were at the table next to us at a restaurant. And the young man, I think he was dating the daughter, said to the dad, so, you know, why is it that you're a Christian? And I'm like, I am all ears. Well, you know, I was tripping through life, believing the lies that pretty girls and success and fame are what really matters, but I was finding myself empty. Some men took me to a retreat. Yeah. And so now I'm just making different decisions and I'm just, you know, just life is better. And I went, that isn't even remotely correct. That the very clear question, basically, why are you a Christian, couldn't be answered. And I think, and I fear, and I don't like it. I think that's the reality with most people who profess to be followers of Jesus. they don't even know what they believe. And that experience happened to you at the movie theater.
The movie really didn't have a baseline in terms of this is what it means to be a Christian, except for Dickens' statement in The Life of Our Lord, to be a Christian is to do good towards others. And there's one scene where if you weren't discerning, you probably wouldn't have picked it up, but pay a little closer attention and you'll see it. Because they're telling the story in such a way where Charles Dickens and his son Walter are kind of working their way through the story. It's the triumphal entry, which was really touching because that's, as recording, this is where we're at right now. We're in Holy Week and thinking through these stories. And it was telling the triumphal entry, but there's this whimsical cat that his son has.
Okay.
Almost for comedic purposes and to make it cute. And the cat gets lost. And so his son takes off running while Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And so Charles goes off and tries to find the cat. And then it pans to where Jesus is standing and he picks up the cat that his son or that Charles had lost.
Okay, hold it right there. I cannot think of a better place to stop to tease for the next segment. Furthermore, I want to break right now just so we can reset the table because I want to hear you say again, a whimsical cat. We'll continue our review of King of Kings, courtesy of our very own Dalton Teal, next on Wretched Radio.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bickney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making Himself known through His creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you've ever wondered what the difference is between a cat and a whimsical cat, well, we've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Dalton Teal went to the movie theater on Friday. That's right. His job was to go to a movie theater and endure to watch a movie and return with a review for us. The animated film King of Kings, produced by Mormon Angel Studios. Although last week I thought Joel Osteen was involved. Apparently he wasn't, but for all intents and purposes, he could have been, because as we are learning, the gospel was not clear. In fact, it did represent Dickens, Charles Dickens' theology, in that it promoted moralism, doing good to be a Christian, which was the theology of Charles Dickens, which, according to the producers, is what this film was based on. But as we were learning from Dalton Teal, there was a scene, not just with a cat, Dalton, but a whimsical cat.
A whimsical cat.
What made the cat whimsical?
Oh, throughout the entire movie, it's causing problems. So it's the very beginning, it's making a mess of Charles Dickens' office, and it's this back and forth hatred of Charles Dickens and his son's cat, and it's always conniving.
Well, see, that part of the movie I could like.
Oh, yeah.
The hatred for the cat business.
Amen to that.
Okay, but that's not, I don't think whimsical is the right word. Wouldn't it just be a cat? Because that's kind of what they do.
I would go annoying.
But see, whimsical, I think, you know, he kind of like, he pranced around and, you know, he was vibrant and sang light melodies.
I think throughout the course of it, it did start to prance around a little bit. And
okay, so then your whimsical word is correct.
There was some whimsy.
Okay. All right. So it set up the scene again with the whimsical cat in the King of Kings movie.
Okay. Setting back up the scene, you have the story being told by Dickens, and they're breaking in and out of the story. It's the triumphal entry where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on the way to the cross, no less, and the child loses his cat. Cat starts running around everywhere. Charles Dickens is looking for it. His son is looking for it. And then his son looks up and sees the cat run up to Jesus. I'm going to pause there for a second because I want to read something that came from the New York Times. It was a review on the movie, and then I'll come back to the cat.
All righty.
It says, Dickens' book feels very Victorian, talking about the life of our Lord. Jesus is mostly a really good guy, and it ends with a little sermon about what Christianity is really about, to do good, always even to those who do evil to us, to be gentle, merciful, and forgiving, and to keep those qualities quiet in our hearts and never make a boast of them and so on. Basically, to be Christian is to try to be kind and decent to all.
There it is.
And thus hope that God will save us. Here's where it shows in this scene. Jesus picks up the cat, and Walter, his son, Charles Dickens' son, sees that Jesus has picked the cat up, and then a passerby walks in front of him, and all of a sudden, what was Jesus is now his dad. And you look, and at first you go, that was an interesting scene. But if you know the theology of Dickens and you know the moralism that's going on, it's almost as if the movie is saying that Dickens was representing Jesus because he did good towards his son.
Or the cat.
Or the cat, the whimsical cat.
The whimsical cat. That New York Times review, though, I think really reveals the problem with films like this that are not clear on the gospel. That is not what Christianity is. And it simply reinforces a wrong narrative in the minds of young people. It's just about being good. And furthermore, I believe the line was to do good stuff and then maybe God will save us. Hold on. Well, if we're good, why do we need saving? And so the movie, it seems, made a hash of it. All right. Anything else before I share with you my review of the movie that I did not see?
No, I think that's about it.
Pretty much got it. All right, here's my review. And it begins with a question. And I think that this will perhaps help us to frame the movie in a slightly different context. Question, Mom and Dad, if you have children, which is why you're called Mom and Dad, are you raising children or are you raising adults? That's a really powerful question. Because if you're raising kids, chances are you're going to with the kids and the babies. Or if you're raising an adult, you're going to talk to children in a more adult-like manner to pull them up, not to go down to their level and speak in baby talk, but to lift them up and use adult speech so that they become more fully mature? And if your answer is, well, I'm trying to raise adults, then I would suggest this type of movie does not contribute to that end. And I think that it reveals the problem with an animated film about Jesus. My issue, I don't think I'd make a law about it. I'd like to come close to it. But animating our Savior, look, Second Commandment debate aside for a moment, let's just assume for the sake of this conversation, it's okay to make an image of Jesus. We'll just say we agree on that for the moment. I have an issue with an animated Jesus, a cartoon character. Is there any sort of visual art that we produce that is more childish and baby-like? And the answer is no. It is the most, let me say, immature way to deliver a narrative and a story. So to take the story that we are celebrating this week, that God in flesh marched to a cross to die for the very people who would shout, "Crucify him," is the greatest story ever told about the greatest being in the universe, and we reduce him to a cartoon. I have an issue with that. Your response, Dalton?
I think it makes sense, especially when you look at the animation of this film, because it was very childish. And they said, this is what we're trying to do. We want to reach children. So if that's your goal, yeah,
See, there it is. That's my point. Why do we have to bring Jesus down to the kids? Why do we have to turn Jesus into a flannel graph? Don't we believe that the Word of God is actually more interesting than a cartoon? And I get it. Well, they don't understand a lot of things. All right, then explain it to them on their level. But to turn Jesus into a cartoon so that the kids' attention is kept, I'm sorry. I just don't think that that is a high view of God. It's a very low view.
My wife asked me after we left the movie, and we don't have kids, but Lord willing, we would love to have kids one day. She said, would you ever let our kids watch this movie? And I said, no, but I'll tell them the story. And I'll tell them the way that the Bible tells us.
Right.
Because it's true. And there's so much more to be had there. And going back to being ecumenical for a moment, it had layers of so many different theologies, but it was theology that was outside the Bible.
Right.
It wasn't what Scripture portrays. And I think that's what breaks my heart is you look at all of these stories and they hide from hard truth. And they hide from the reality of sin and death and pain in the world, but the glories of the cross.
Yeah, the very stumbling block that Jesus said he is. We remove that because it could cause somebody to be offended, which is exactly what our message is. It is a scandal. I wonder how many parents out of 1,000 before going to the movie said, hold on, everybody. About how much was it, by the way?
I think $10, $12, something like that. They have an offer on there that they'll cut away the fees. So that helped.
Cut away the fees?
Yeah, you don't have to pay online fees or anything like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was nice.
Okay, so it was not as great because it's like $20 to go to a movie.
Oh, well, once you get popcorn and everything, you're bankrupt.
No, the ticket, well, yeah, once you get all of that stuff, you can, that's why I'm shocked you didn't smuggle something in. The point is, you just weren't being a very good steward. See what I did right there? How many parents do you think said, hey, before we go to this movie and basically give away our kids' tuition and inheritance, who wrote this? Who's behind this? Whose theology is going to be represented? I would bet, now, people who didn't go to it because they don't want their kids to consume stuff made by strangers, but for those who went, I would say 0 out of 1,000 asked that question. They just went.
I would have to agree because I heard the conversations happening afterward and there was no correcting scenes or directing their children and saying, okay, this is what Jesus said in the movie, but this is what Jesus actually said.
Yeah, and see right there, which is, why would we want to show the wrong to explain the right? Why muddle the message? Why not just say, this is the story, kids, and tell it in a way that they can get it? And don't remove the hard truths. The reality is, I get this. You think, well, I don't want my 2-year-old to be scared of God. Well, according to the Bible, you do. That's the beginning of wisdom. You want your kid to have a high view of God. A cartoon Jesus. By the way, any slapstick from Jesus? Any jokes from Jesus in this film?
There was one in which you have the woman caught in adultery that was about to be stoned, and he...
Funny!
Yeah, he says, whoever has not sinned, he can cast the stone, and everyone walks away, and he says, oh, none of you have sinned? Huh, interesting. And that was about the only moment where you see him kind of slapstick, but it wasn't even really slapstick in that moment.
But you know, that verse, but the kids who watch it, they'll think that's what Jesus said. Kind of tosses off a somewhat sarcastic remark. Not that I'm opposed to sarcasm, but for the kid who's watching that, they don't have any discernment. So they're going to think that's what Jesus said. Hence, another issue with these presentations about Jesus or King David. Sorry, I had a little something stuck in my throat. Dalton, as always, well done. Guess what I have in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers?
Oh, no, what? I'm always concerned when you send me an email or you say something like that.
Joyce Meyer is coming to town. Guess where you're going, baby? This is Wretched Radio.